My name is Daniel Shoptaw, an Arkansas accountant with a love for the Cardinals. I spent a lot of years watching the game before deciding to write about it. Now I express my thoughts and opinions at C70 at the Bat, part of the Cardinal Conclave. His name is Dan Buffa, a former Busch Stadium scoreboard operator with a passion for the game. His writing talents can be found throughout the internet on a variety of topics, including movies and anything St. Louis. You'll find him often bleeding out words at stlouissportsminute.com. Every week, we pool our knowledge and our opinions to create this podcast. Together, we are the best Dans in baseball. Welcome in to episode 12 of Best Dans in Baseball. We're recording this Thursday night in, well, right about the fourth inning of the Cardinals playing the Diamondbacks. We didn't dare wait until after the game because these West Coast games get so late that you think we're bad off when we're conscious. Imagine if we were just half awake doing this show. Then you'd never have a clue what we were talking about. Daniel Shoptaw, Dan Buffa. Dan, it's been a good week for the Cardinals. You look at this, you know, except for those first two games in San Diego, which I think probably the less said about the better.
Yeah.
You know, they've won four in a row, got out to a good lead tonight. They've given that up, but, you know, still tied right now. Chance for a four-game sweep, which doesn't come around very often. It's been kind of nice to see a little bit more offense out of this team. Now, is this because we're seeing worse pitching, or are we finally going to get a little bit more sustained attack?
Well, I think it's just nice to see the Cardinals score more than a couple runs a game. I mean, they piled on 27 runs in this little recent four-game streak. So, and it's just good to see us get out in front, even tonight. You know, the lead's gone tonight. The Cardinals take it out to a 3-0 lead tonight. And that's just good to see this team not playing catch-up, which it seems for the past month they've kind of been doing. You know, they spend the first five or six innings scoreless, then they scratch out a run, and their team scratches out two runs, and it's kind of a battle. So it's good to see the Cardinals' offense fly their pitching with leads. Tonight you had a little difficulty with Cardinals getting kind of beat up a little bit, but, you know, once again, you know, the Cardinals are, you know, the fact that they have three runs and were in the top of the fourth, I mean, it's kind of great because three runs for a while there seemed to be the average Cardinals output for nine innings. So it's good to see them beat up on the Padres and kind of wipe out that series a little bit. And, you know, they came into this series and they really kind of put a halt to a team that was playing well. I mean, the Diamondbacks have won four in a row. So it's good to see the Cardinals come in and reestablish what they can do on the road. And that's, you know, win some games, score some runs, and they're also pitching really well. So I guess sustain, it'd be great. I mean, I think this is the fifth game in a row where we've scored a decent amount of runs. And, you do want to see the Cardinals kind of start to give their pitching a little bit more support, because we all know that great, great pitching may regress back to the mean even here in the last month. But, you know, when it comes to the Cardinals, even the last 3 years, I mean, more offense is never going to be frowned upon.
No, we're definitely going to take that. I don't think anybody's going to say, well, we've scored enough. that just doesn't happen. You look at last night, you know, last night it was a 1-0 game for a little while, and it did kind of get a little worrisome. But then, you know, Mark Reynolds hits a home run, and then they put up two more, and you start to, that one was probably the closest one we've seen this week. They've done some good things. Colton Wong obviously needed those days off. He's looked much better since having 2 or 3 days off, which is, it's kind of interesting. You know, we talk a little bit about the mental aspect of things. And a guy like Colton Wong, you would think he just doesn't need confidence because, look, he's done a lot of great things in the major leagues. He's, you know, he had that home runs at the postseason last year. He knows he can play at this level. But apparently, you know, the bad days stick to him a little bit more than they do to some people. And apparently just, you know, getting that clean break 2 or 3 days off, it really has reinvigorated him. And, you know, that's kind of what we're going to need. We just got to hope that we don't have to give him 2 or 3 days off in the middle of the NLCS or anything like that.
Yes. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's all about treading water, and it's really just about kind of getting from one spot to the next. I mean, here we are, and then another month, you know, we're going to be wrapping up at the end of the regular season, if anybody can believe that, you know, as we get into late September. And it's just one of those things where I think with each part of this team, you know, you do. I mean, even tonight, I mean, for example, I wonder about people are kind of wondering about Carlos Martinez and his effectiveness and the way that he's kind of run off a streak here that's not too great, but I still look at his strong batting average on hitters with runners in scoring position. So he's still pitching well when he needs to. But, you know, I think it's September. I think we'll see a few spot starts, and we'll see some of these returning Cardinals to kind of fill in. I mean, if the Cardinals can get healthier, I mean, I wrote a column tonight about, you know, what is the probability of the Cardinals being caught? And it just doesn't look good, because even in their worst month, Shoptaw, they went 15-12 in July. And that's their worst month. They won 18-8. They won 15-6. It's just going to be so hard for this team to be caught that, you know, that is what we're doing now. We're talking about playoff rotation. We're talking about rest. And we're talking about who's going to be back, because, I mean, the way this team plays, they don't seem to play bad for that long.
And no, they don't. But the problem is, you don't have to, because, yeah, they might go 18-7 or say in September. But the way the Pirates are going, they could go 25-0 and pass them. I mean, it just doesn't seem, you know, it wasn 2 nights ago, I think, and the Cardinals got a little bit, you know, got to push that lead back out to 4.5. They won again today, another close game. Of course, Gerrit Cole was going for them. That's not too surprising. You know, the Cubs at one time were surging. They've lost now 2 in a row. I think they lost today. Yeah, they got beat up by the Giants, today. Uh-huh. So, it's difficult. Like I said, I don't think this team is playing badly. I just wish they were in almost any other division so that they could have a 10-game lead and we could really start planning out. Cause all it takes is, well, I mean, Pittsburgh comes to town, what, next week? You know, it takes, you know, we saw those close games with Pittsburgh earlier this year. All it takes is losing 2 or 3 of those close games, and all of a sudden this is a tied division, and, you know, you're looking at possible that wild card game, which I want to avoid at all costs. So I do think that the Cardinals are going to play well. I mean, look, they win tonight, they've guaranteed themselves a winning season. They play 500 ball the rest of the way, they're going to get 98, 99 wins. It's just that sadly may not be enough, and it's going to be a very frustrating thing if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to just completely write off any team because, I mean, in the Central Division because they're playing so well, and it is. The Cardinals and the Pirates and the Cubs have all played outstanding baseball in the last month. And the top 5 teams since the All-Star break, these 3 teams exist because they just won't quit. I mean, the Pirates, even when they lose A.J. Burnett, they pitch on. They have a little bit more offense. The Cubs, they kind of have a 2-headed pitching monster out there. They don't have an outstanding bullpen, but they find ways to win games. I mean, they just went on a ridiculous winning streak where I think they played an insane amount of games at Wrigley Field in a row. And, you know, neither team is quitting, and it's going to come down to these final 6 games that the Cardinals have with these teams. And can the Pirates and the Cubs take advantage, or can the Cardinals hold them off? Because the rest of the way, even with the Giants, you know, now the Nationals don't even seem like a really big worry, even though we're going to be facing them. And, you know, it just comes down to those 6 games. I mean, because those games could cause a swing. But, you know, with the way the Cardinals have been able to bounce back, and it seems like whenever this team wants to play bad baseball for 2 games, they bounce back and they'll score 27 runs in 4 games. They'll get great pitching and their bullpen pops up, and they're almost just too hard to stop, and it doesn't matter. You know, you lose Grichuk, we keep winning. You know, you haven't had Holiday back for the most part since June, we keep winning. You know, it doesn't really matter. You haven't had a first baseman really that you can really rely on all season long. Who cares? We just keep winning. So it's just that the Pirates and the Cubs are kind of climbing up that hill, and the Cardinals are, I mean, there was one tweet today where I even put it in the article I wrote that I think the Cardinals can go 500 and the Pirates have to go like 11 games over 500, and so do the Cubs. And the Cubs have to go insanely over the last like 30, 35, 36 games in order to catch them, in order to catch us. And it means that, you know, the Cardinals haven't had a 500 month, or, you know, I mean, their worst month was, as I said earlier, 15-12. So they have to really come back down to earth as they get healthier, and the other teams have to play like out of their mind baseball. And it's an uphill battle, and all the Cardinals have to do, they just have to keep winning series and avoid getting swept. And that's what they did in San Diego. They may have played 2 ugly baseball games, but they avoided the sweep. Now they come into Arizona. and they're going to take three out of four at least, maybe even sweep the four-game set and get their momentum back as they go in to face the Giants. So it's one of those things where, as much as, you know, I said, if the Pirates and the Cubs fans, if they just read the Cardinal fans' Twitter whenever the Cardinals happen to lose, they might think they had a shot. But in reality, their chances are kind of, even how decent they seem, they're just not that strong.
Yeah, I mean, you give the Cubs are, what, about eight or so games back now with those last losses. They, yeah. I'll give you that. But, you know, you look at the schedule and both teams, both Cardinals and Pittsburgh, have a fairly light schedule except for the games with themselves. The Cardinals do have the six games with the Cubs. Pirates, you know, they got our stretch here, the Rockies, the Brewers, then they got the Reds and the Brewers. They've got six games with the Cubs as well. So at least everybody's going to have a chance to just kind of define themselves. But the only team that the Pirates play that's worth anything outside of the Cardinals and the Cubs is the Dodgers, and they got a three game set in LA. I guess that's the one good thing. They have three in LA and four in, Colorado, and we know what those trips can be like. I mean, it's definitely, you'd much rather be in the Cardinals position than anybody else's position in the National League Central, probably. But, you know, it's kind of frustrating to me that a team like, you know, the Mets, who have had a good season, don't get me wrong, they're a good team, perhaps not the strongest of teams, but definitely a good team, a team that's worth going to the postseason. And they've got, but you know, they're what? I don't know if they've gotten to 70 wins yet. And they've got a better, you know, magic number and a lead than the Cardinals do. Oh, they got to 70 today. So they've won six in a row and they're at 70 and 56. And they've got a six game lead over the, you know, the Nationals that I don't think anybody can figure out. It just doesn't seem right that a team that would be fourth in our division has a, you know, is closer to the clinching than the Cardinals are, who are leading baseball. But, you know, that's the way it goes. We play in a tough division, and if nothing else, it should toughen them up for the postseason because they should be used to playing the best teams. Now, the problem is they're going to play the Pittsburgh or Chicago, whoever wins that wild card game, in the first round, in that shortened series. And so, you know, I guess if they can get past the NLDS, they're pretty good shape for the rest of the way.
Yes, I mean, and you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the playoffs begin, anything can happen, and that's why even with this great Cardinal team, I kind of have to go, okay, well, it's going to be fine until early October, then all bets are off, because when all these teams reach the postseason, and let's say they, you know, the Pirates get Garrett Cole in that one game playoff, and they go up against maybe Jake Arrieta, and you know, it's, you know, whoever comes out of that game, I mean, either team's going to be hard if the Cardinals have to face them. That's why I find myself wanting to face, you know, the Giants or the Dodgers over one of these teams in a division series, because it's just, you know, if it comes down to playing, I still can't get it in my head that we could play playoff baseball games at Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem like I'm ready for that yet. I don't think any Cardinal fan is ready for that yet. So while I think the Cardinals have a division locked down, the playoffs are a whole other battle, because you get into Wrigley Field, it's getting colder, you know, is Steve Bartman in the house? Is he going to affect another game? Is it going to be a deep series with the Cubs? And are we ready for that? I mean, are we ready for a possible seven-game series with the Cubs or the Pirates? What was that?
Well, I'm just saying you only get five with those guys, because you're going to play whoever that is, the wild card, you're going to play them in the first round. So you'll have five with them, which is a little bit dangerous because, you know, it only takes three wins versus four. But then on the flip side, like you're pointing out, if they do run Cole versus Arrieta in that wild card game, that means you don't have to face that guy until, what, game four? Yeah. And so that's a significant advantage for the Cardinals. Now, mitigated somewhat by if Pittsburgh wins, they probably throw Liriano out there in game one and we have to face him.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, if you don't have to face those guys, especially Arrieta, who has just dominated the Cardinals this year, until what could be their, you know, could be a clinching game. Or you might avoid him completely if you could sweep.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It's one of those things, yeah. So, you know, if the Cardinals are more than likely going to finish with the best record in baseball, and they're going to face, yes, the wild card game. So we're going to get one of these two teams, whether we like it or not, unless the whole, you know, league just shifts in the last 35 games, which I just can't see happening. I can still see the Mets coming out of that division. I don't think they're going to be. I just think that the moves they made and that pitching they have. You know, the Mets pitching could be really dangerous. We happen to face the Mets in the NLCS. That's going to be dangerous because, I mean, the pitching they have and, you know, the moves they made. I mean, I almost want to face, once again, I'll face the Dodgers even over the Mets just because I think that we find a way to beat the Dodgers in the postseason. I'm not sure I want to face who they call Thor out there and the pitching staff and Cespedes. But they, I mean, that just tells you though that the Cardinals are going to run through these Pirates and Cubs before the season's over. So as much as we say that we have six games left with the two of them, there could be more come the playoff time. Because I do think that, you know, they're going to be the two wild card teams unless one of them really falls off, and I just can't see it. I mean, with the way the division's stacking up in baseball, I mean, right now, you know, the Dodgers are they still ahead of the Giants out west? Are they?
Yeah, by I think 2.5.
So they're out there.
It's close. They could pass the Dodgers. More likely to do that than get the wild card because they're 5.5 behind the Cubs.
I didn't realize the Mets had that six game lead on Washington.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wow. They've got a bigger lead than the Cardinals do.
That's not fair.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm preaching at you now. I mean, it just doesn't seem right. But the Mets have earned it. I mean, like you said, they made some good moves.
They did make some big moves. You know, I mean, when I look at the Mets, I think of the Blue Jays and the Mets, who just, the two teams that were kind of, not exactly bad, but they were kind of lingering around and they kind of supersized, and you know the Blue Jays taking over the AL East, and the Mets are really just dominated the division. I mean the Braves are just gone. The Marlins and then the Phillies are pretty much just playing for the fun of the game, and you know the Washington Nationals. How about that for a team that was supposed to be really was written into the World Series based on paper in February and March, and now they're in danger of not even making the postseason at all. I mean they're going to need a big run here because there's six games back of them. And then you put it, I mean, they're behind, you know, the San Francisco Giants out for the wild card, and then they have these two big Giants and the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs they're at a 579 winning percentage. I mean, they could slip off maybe, but as you said, they have a good, really easy schedule. I mean, we all know what the Cubs can do, and we all know what the Cubs do in September, really just by September. We know that, I'm sure that they know it by heart. So, but I can't see the Cubs and the Pirates really losing those wild card spots unless the Giants go on a tear. It was really that the East is locked up. And I think if anybody's going to come after that second wild card spot, it may be the Giants. They have to go on a big run in order to get there. But the Cardinals, all intents and purposes, could be facing more than likely. Let me ask you that, Shoptaw. If it comes down to the Cubs and the Pirates, which one do you want in an NLDS?
As much as I don't want to face the Cubs because I don't want to see them win against the Cardinals, because that is just, I mean, it's going to be bad enough if and when the Cubs ever do make it to the World Series or win the World Series.
Oh.
But if they go through St. Louis to do it, I mean, that's just going to, I don't know how we live with ourselves that summer. But that off season. But when you look at how tough the Pirates are, and you look at Liriano, and you look at guys like Pedro Alvarez and Aramis Ramirez, who always destroy the Cardinals,
and PNC Park.
You know, PNC Park is wild. I mean, I know Wrigley will be crazy for a playoff game, but
I
don't think it'd be as nuts as PNC.
I got to interrupt you because Brandon Moss has hit his first Cardinal home run. Oh,
look at there! Look at there!
16 home runs. 3 RBIs as a Cardinal now, ladies and gentlemen. I think right now nobody feels better in this country right now, or at least in Arizona and St. Louis, than Brandon Moss. He looks like he's ready to do a backflip into that dugout. Look at
probably so. I mean, that and we'll get back to the schedule race discussion here in a minute. But you know, Moss is, you know, if nothing else, I mean, he has really wanted to do something for this team, and I think maybe even to the point that he's wanted to do it too much. And so to be able to see him come through for once. And let me, you know, you can put all the caveats that you want on it. The fact that it's a home run ballpark and he's not facing great competition, although, you know, DeRosa's been able to keep the Cardinals down tonight. Put all that together, put all that on there. I don't care right now to have him go deep in a game where they were tied. You know, possibly if the bullpen and stuff hold up, that could win the ball game, keeps them from losing ground to the Pirates, where we're talking about. That's huge for him. And who knows? I mean, could this be the spark that gets him started? It could be. Odds are it's not. I mean, I'll be fair. I'll be frank that we always like to say, hey, this is the spark. And then, you know, a week later, he hasn't got another hit.
I will say that going to San Francisco that weekend, that right field kind of porch, it's not too hard to hit one out of there, I guess. And, you know, it could be a nice little bump for him. You know, when it comes to Brandon Moss, I've kind of told myself, look, you know, if every hit that he gives, every meaningful hit, I mean, this is probably his first meaningful hit since his walk-off hit at Busch, and we'll take it, because right now when it comes to this team, in true Cardinal fashion, it's all hands on deck. And Brandon Moss, the kind of guy that's just kind of stepping up tonight. I mean, Colt Wong looked like a lost cause by when we were talking last Thursday. Now he's had a couple of really big hits this last week. So it's one of those things where if it's not somebody on this team, it's somebody else. And, and if somebody else is going to, like last night, as you stated out, it was Mark Reynolds hitting that home run to kind of kick off the scoring. And now tonight it's Brandon Moss. And you get the feeling that, you know, the way baseball works is, you know, once you just knock that weight off your shoulders, maybe, you know, maybe he goes on a tear, and hey, you go on a tear for a week or two, and you make that previous 4 weeks just disappear.
Absolutely. It's all about timing. I mean, you can be terrible. Look, the whole reason Pete Cosma still has a career is because of timing. He got hot in 2012 for the 6 weeks down the stretch when they needed it. And he's still here. Basically, not entirely because of that, but there's a good portion of why he's still here because of that. You know, I know a lot of people are anti-Pete Cosma, and I understand that. There are reasons for that. But, you know, they obviously don't have him for his bat now, but I think he might have been gone before this had it not been for that stretch. In fact, if it hadn't been for that stretch of 12, he'd probably been gone at the end of 12. But he had it, he kept it, and then he got to start in 13, and we saw that 12 was kind of a fluke. back to the race. Like you were talking about, you didn't think that Pittsburgh or Chicago would fall out of the race, and I'm pretty sure Pittsburgh is right. The only way that I see either one of those teams really stumbling enough to stay home for October is if they just fall apart in those head-to-head games between each other. If between when they're playing Pittsburgh or when they're playing us for the Cubs, when Pittsburgh's playing the Cubs and us. Because those really, looking at all three teams, those are really the tough games that are left. The Cubs have a set with the Diamondbacks, but it's in Wrigley. They got one game makeup with the Royals. But, you know, I mean, this is the unbalanced schedule, which I am personally a fan of. I think that you should play more games within your division and win your division, you know, make you earn that division title. But that unbalanced schedule means that everybody's playing the Reds and the Brewers, down the stretch. And then that makes for a fairly easy schedule. So there will be a lot of games where, you know, a lot of days where all three teams are going to win. And odds are by now, I mean, we're looking at here, we're, you know, just a few days away from September. Odds are nobody's going to expand. That lead's just not going to get huge for the Cardinals unless they can just go and sweep through those six games with Pittsburgh, or win go 5-1 against them, which seems unlikely. That lead's probably not going to get much bigger than 4 or 5 games all year long the rest of the way. So they've got to win the games that they're supposed to win. They've got to win those games against the Brewers and the Reds and, you know, try to win the games against the Nationals. And people, they can't play to the level of competition like they have been. They're going to really have to play well.
Yeah. I mean, and just what they're doing these last four games, I mean, they flipped it all they flipped this road trip on its head as far as, you know, having those two bad games in San Diego and then all of a sudden dominating them on Sunday and then coming in and facing a team in the Diamondbacks who are playing really well. You know, they play decently in their home park, and what we're doing to them right now, well, we're kind of just, you know, kind of officially wrapping up their season for them in a way. I mean, they're on a streak, and now they're in danger of losing, you know, four in a row after winning four in a row. And this is what the Cardinals have to do. We have to take care of teams like like the Diamondbacks. When we face the Nationals, you know, who are really reeling in the second half, we gotta take care of them too. And I can't, you know, even saying that sounds weird, taking care of the Nationals, like they're just an also ran, you know, low division team. And it's crazy to think about that, but, you know, when you're not facing these other teams like, you know, like the Pirates and like the Cubs, you have to take care of those teams. I mean, but you do have meaningful games left against your division rivals who you're possibly going to see in the playoffs. So if you, every time you waste a game, I mean, the first thing I do when the Cardinals are losing badly, I look and see what the other teams are doing, is you see if the other team's going to capitalize. You're not necessarily, you know, thinking, you know, the walls caving in or you're going to dive off a cliff. You just want to know, does this lack of a win tonight, is that going to come back to bite the Cardinals? And you also see it as another chance to not, you know, knock off some of that magic number, which is going to start becoming a factor here in the last month. So the Cardinals, all they really have to do is just, you know, take advantage of your schedule, you know, beat these bad teams, you know, and like I said earlier, win series, split series, don't lose as many, don't get swept. If the Cardinals don't get swept, I don't think they can be caught.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the rest of their schedule, you know, a lot of, basically split pretty evenly, but a little bit, a few more road games than home games. You know, it's just, it's gonna be a big deal now. You know, it'd be nice, the Pirates, that second Pirate series is, you know, the next to last series of the year. It could be that the Cardinals are clinched by then, and that'd be nice, not to have to worry. It'd be nice to clinch in that maybe clinch in that last homestand of the Reds and Brewers. And then not have to worry about playing Pittsburgh, with something on the line, but we'll have to see. When we're talking about shifting the calendar, we're talking about things flipping over. That means that September's coming, which means you can expand your roster. A lot of years the Cardinals have not done a lot. They might have brought up four or five players. They've not really, you know, stuffed the clubhouse, if you will. Because at some point the time they've been in races a lot of times that they didn't do much good to bring people up and they haven't had people to bring up. This year should be different. In part because we're going to get a whole lot of people coming off the DL. Matt Adams is doing a rehab right now. John Jay is going to be joining Memphis tomorrow. Both of those guys kind of expected to come back, if not on September 1st, then soon after. Matt Belisle is throwing. There's some talk about him coming back in September, which would be nice. I kind of want to wait and see, because I think they also said he was getting a second opinion on it from a doctor. I'm thinking if you're getting a second opinion and you're still planning on coming back, I'm not really sure how that all comes together. But, you know, who knows? You got those guys coming back. There's still the Adam Wainwright talk, which, you know, Wainwright basically went on TV yesterday and said Mo told him to settle down. basically that he's not, you know, stop telling people you're coming back because, you know, he's going to work at it, but he's probably not. Walden, it seems like he's out. I haven't heard anything more about him, but it just doesn't sound good there. And then we got Mr. Grichuk, who, you know, went out last week, and it doesn't sound good for him. And that one may be the one that, even if Matt Holliday returns, which he's supposed to return maybe mid-September, Grichuk may be the one that we're going to kind of regret when the postseason rolls around.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, as I wrote about it, it's kind of like, you know, it's like going to Six Flags and your favorite ride is closed. You know, I mean, that's what it comes to Grichuk, the way that he can just light up a fan base with a couple home runs, you know, the electricity that he brings to every game, because you never know what he's going to do. He's like an action movie. He could strike out a couple, three, four times in a game, or he could hit two home runs and, you know, hit a triple, hit a double. So when you lose that, it takes a little bit of fire away from your team. Now nobody, you know, nobody handles that better than this Cardinals team. Nobody's handled injuries better, just, you know, as far as just going, okay, we got that now. What's new? Let's just keep on winning. I mean, but I am going to miss that. I think all we can hope for is that the kid takes, you know, another week off and then slowly maybe starts to come back and is ready for the playoffs. I mean, that's kind of like my dream right now, is that he's ready for the playoffs so we can get that deadly bat at least to catch a couple starts. I mean, it's like you're going to play him every day. I mean, if you have Holliday and Jay and Biscotti and Hayward and, you know, and all those other guys in the rush, you don't have to play the kid every day and really in danger. As I read, and Derek Gould really had a good piece today when he answered. He kind of posted his little 10 questions, and he was asked about it. And it's not just the elbow strain with Randall Grichuk. You know, he's got a basic muscle strain, a tear, not a complete tear, right around his elbow. And what they're really worried about is if he goes back out there and he hurts it even more, that could put him out for a long time. And that's, and you know, he even mentioned the old Tommy John talk. Because if he goes out there and he really hurts the elbow and the ligament gets damaged, then you have not just a muscle strain, you have a ligament damage. And when you, and then that's when it gets really sad. Because if you close down a ride for a month, it's one thing. You close down a ride for 6 to 8 months or a year, people are going to start crying. You're going to do some mobile on the runs. Trevor's going to have to do some house calls. Because if you lose Randall Grichuk for over a month or two. So that's the big worry. I don't even think really it's just the strain. You know, strain is a strain and needs rest. But I think about where the strain is. I mean, as opposed to Matt Holliday and Matt Adams, it's a simple quad strain. It's a muscle. It heals with rest. You slowly could do baseball activities. But with Randall Grichuk, what scared me the most when I heard about it was the elbow. Anything near the elbow, position player, pitcher, I just assume this is bad. Because it's just the way that, you know, it can go, it can backfire so many different ways. I mean, he supposedly hurt it when he made a throw in the outfield. So, you know, is he going to be the Alan Craig of this year? Do you just hope to get him back in a hitting standpoint by the World Series? Is he going to come back in September? Is he going to lend anything to this team? And while I think they can handle it, it's still a sad loss if he doesn't come back.
Oh yeah, yeah, and there's other issues as well that we'll go into a minute, but I'm following along the game here on game day and you're watching it, maybe you could tell me a little bit more. Mark Reynolds, first of all, Mark Reynolds just pinch hit and faced Matt Reynolds. That had to be fun.
yes.
But also he pinch hit for Greg Garcia, which is a little surprising that that they went in for Garcia and then Carlos, actually batted right after him, so he stayed in the game. But you know, obviously Mark Reynolds can play third; it's not a big deal. But I'm a little surprised, unless it was just the fact that there was a pitching change as well, and maybe that they went with platoon advantage. I don't know; it just seems a little strange. And but you know, maybe they like Reynolds' defense over there at third,
yeah,
guarding Garcia's, which is a little. I don't think of Mark Reynolds and defense going together. He's played fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played fine. Don't get me wrong, but it's just not, he's not necessarily what you go glove type of guy. But
yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, because Mark Reynolds flew out, and then Carlos Martinez batted for himself, and he ground out to second, and now you got the top of the order. So basically, essentially, it was Mark Reynolds just batting for Greg Garcia. I will admit that, Greg Garcia makes me a little nervous. I mean, and it just comes when he throws the ball. He kind of has an awkward throwing motion where you're not really sure it's going to get over to the glove. And this is even before he supposedly hurt his hand sliding into third base the other night. I will admit that Mark Reynolds is not the, a gold glove third baseman, but I guess they just trust him a little more at third base. So they just, I don't think they're going to say, well, here, let's see if Mark Reynolds is still, it's a home run here. I think that they were. I think that they were going for a defense there, and it is. But it does sound weird to come off the tongue when you say you're bringing in Mark Reynolds for defense. That nobody would ever guess that in March.
No, probably not. Anyway, so to go back to Grichuk, I think it's also interesting that could completely affect how they approach Jason Hayward in the offseason, because if Grichuk's healthy, you go into the negotiations with Hayward in a little bit more of a position of strength, because you say, hey, we don't get you. We got Piscotty. We got Holliday. We'll have Grichuk. We'll be fine. If you don't have Grichuk, then you have to say, well, we'll have, Piscotty play center. Who's going to play? Or he'll play, what are we going to do here? What do we do for right? I know we have outfielders, but I think that they would much rather a healthy Grichuk for negotiating purposes, if nothing else, than the unhealthy. Obviously, they want him healthy for his baseball skills as well. But it'll be interesting to see if we don't get resolution to Grichuk's injury, if they re-sign Hayward and then we see Grichuk get surgery, or vice versa. I just think it's an interesting, a card that Mo can have if Grichuk is sitting healthy there. But obviously, you'd love to have him on your bench. I mean, things are going to be kind of weird in September anyway, and that's one of the question we got on Twitter is how do these DL guys coming in, or maybe the September call-ups, but especially the DL guys, how do they work into what this team has right now. I mean, do we see Adams play first base on a daily basis? You know, when Holiday's back, what does that mean for Piscotty? You know, even with Grichuk out, you know, does Piscotty move over to center? I mean, are we going to see John Jay play some center? Because he should be back. I mean, what do you think? I mean, what do you think? How much time are these guys going to see, and what's the configuration of the team going to look like?
Well, I mean, I think it's just going to be a really crowded bench in September. I do think Matt Adams will get time. I mean, I think he's going to be back before Matt Holiday, so he's going to have a little bit of an extra time to maybe get kind of push Moss and Reynolds around at first base and get some starts. And he's at the very least, Matt Adams is going to get some bats. Whether it comes to, you know, you're shifting guys around. Merck Reynolds can also play left, as we see right now. He's at first, but he could play third. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, John Jay is coming back and he's going to get in that fold too. And Piscotty, as long as Piscotty hits, he's going to play. If it's at left field with Holiday out, with Holiday comes back, if first base is still going bad, you know, you're going to see Piscotty go there. And you may even see, you know, if Grichuk remains out, you may even see Hayward go to center, Piscotty go to right. And John Jay's going to have to really earn his starts. And I don't think Peter Borges is ever going to play again when these two guys come back. But I do think Matt Adams, I can't see either of these guys except maybe for Holiday. Because when Holiday is healthy, he plays. It's just, you know, he's a veteran. He's a guy that really, you know, comes alive in the last 2 months of the season. He needs all the at-bats he can get because he is a lethal bat in this lineup. And when he's right, you know, he stabilizes it. So when it comes to the other guys like John Jay, you know, he'll probably get some starts in center field. He will get to play a little more. I mean, we all know that when he's healthy, he plays. Matt Adams, it is tricky because you have first base is going to be really stacked if Matt Holiday does come back. You're going to have, you know, Adams, Piscotty, Moss, Reynolds. I mean, and it makes you think that if Adams contributes anything, that Brandon Moss, whatever he does or not, probably isn't going to be on the postseason roster and may, unless he keeps hitting, may see his September at bats kind of really dwindle. Because you're going to have a lot of these guys in the bench, even with the loss of Grichuk. But I do think the big swinger as far as coming back and making the biggest impact is Matt Holiday. Because if he comes back, you know, and he's healthy and he plays, then that pushes Piscotty out of left. And if Piscotty is still playing, now we all have to understand Piscotty's having a great run right now. He's playing every day. It doesn't mean that he can't go on a bad streak. It doesn't mean he can't get a little rest. You know, that he could be a bat off the bench. You know, the Cardinals are really powered by everybody on the roster leaving a dent. So I do think all the returning guys are going to have some kind of impact. But I think the biggest guy who can have the most roster shifting impact is Matt Holiday. And one of the things I really found kind of funny this last week is that everybody with 3 weeks of good Piscotty is all of a sudden, they've all deemed Matt Holiday unworthy of a starting position. It's like, you know, who cares that he's been healthy for the most part for the last three seasons, that he's got an OPS over 800. You know, now that we've got Piscotty blowing up the baseball for like the last 3 weeks, I don't think we even need Matt Holiday anymore. I've heard this on Twitter. And once again, people be going on Twitter. Sometimes it can just be like a theme park ride. You go up and down hills. You go around, you go upside down. It's funny. But, I do think that people are forgetting and counting Matt Holiday out with the recent success of guys like Grichuk and Piscotty and even Tommy Pham. We're even forgetting about him and all this shuffle, but I do think a healthy Matt Holiday can lend a lot to this team.
Well, if you've got people that are saying that Matt Holiday doesn't deserve to start because of Stephen Piscotty, you're following the wrong people. That's all I got to say, because that's just crazy talk right there. I mean, you know, Matt Holiday makes this team significantly better. Now, I'm not saying, I don't say that you need to cut out Piscotty to put in Holiday. I think you got to find a place for Piscotty to play.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if, whether it's first place, whether it's right field, whether you're giving some days off, whatever you gotta do, you gotta get him in there because he has been probably the most consistent force we've seen, since his call up. You know, and he's had a couple of, you know, he's starting to hit the ball hard now. You know, he had the two home runs, Sunday.
A little more power.
So, I mean, you got to have him out there, but Matt Holiday is still Matt Holiday, and Matt Holiday, even if he doesn't bring the power, even if he's got issues with, he's going to hit the ball, and, you know, that's what we've not seen. We've not seen the people that can consistently get hits And Matt Holliday can consistently get hits, whether it's singles, whether it's doubles, whatever it is, maybe.
Getting on base, yeah.
And it changes the complexion of that lineup so much. Yeah, you gotta have Holliday in there, and you probably play Holliday pretty much every day just to make sure he stays healthy and he gets in shape and he's ready to go for the postseason. I think John Jay gets some starts when he first comes back, just to try to get him into some sort of groove. But you know, you're right. You gotta keep Tommy Pham in that, because Tommy Pham is working his way toward at least a bench spot, if not a starting spot, especially if Grichuk's out, maybe well be the starter in the postseason. I mean, you know, between his speed and his ability to get some hits, he's played fairly good defense. You know, he very well may be the starter, with Jay the backup. And, you know, like you say, I don't think there's going to be room for Peter Borges on this postseason roster. I could be wrong. But I think that if it comes down between Jay and Borges, they take Jay because he's more likely to be able to do something off the bench, unless Borges has some sort of strong September.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where Brandon Moss and Peter Borges, they really have to have a great September. They have to find a way to get in there and make great use, because when it comes to Brandon Moss, he's going to have to deal with Matt Adams, Mark Reynolds, possibly Piscotty at first base, and the outfield isn't any less crowded. And for Peter Borges, you know, you're basically being kind of a, you know, if you thought that John Jay was your problem, then Randall Grichuk was your problem. Now, if you thought Grichuk was your problem, well, now Tommy Pham is Borges' problem. As Tommy Pham plays a great center field, he's got, you know, he can steal base, he's got great speed, as we saw the last few days with those triples, and, you know, and he's got some pop. I mean, and he also takes the ball to right. He hits line drives all over the field. He's a young, hungry kid who's finally, at the age of 27, getting a chance to really prove what he can do at the major league level. So, I mean, and we all know Matheny. The one thing Matheny does, I mean, if a rookie's hitting, he plays. I mean, he's going to be in there. And we all know how Matheny really looks at Peter Borges. If you ask Matheny right now, he probably see Peter Borges as basically a late-inning defensive replacement and possible pinch hitter. I don't see Peter Borges getting enough starts and enough time in September to really prove that he belongs on this roster. And I think the development of guys like Piscotty and Grichuk and Pham have pushed him even further down in that depth chart. So I really think that when it comes to who wouldn't make this roster, I think Moss and Borges are the guys that I just can see on the outside looking in.
And it's possible. I still feel like Moss, yeah, I think you're right, he may not make the postseason roster. But being that he's under control for next year, I expect that he will probably, I think they'd like to see him do something in September to give them a reason to bring him back.
Yeah.
And of course it may depend on, you know, it may depend on the Hayward thing. If they sign Hayward, maybe they don't bring Moss back because Piscotty's going to play for the most part. But on the flip side, you know, he brings something to that, you know, it's kind of like Mark Reynolds. We signed him this year to be that bench, the bat off the bench, and maybe Moss is that guy for next year. I don't know. But yeah, I think Moss probably is left off because Reynolds is going, and if Adams can hit, Adams is going, and that's about all the first baseman you need, especially with Piscotty being able to play over there. And you know, they might take 14 hitters and 11 pitchers, but you know, you still have to figure all that out. Let's talk a little bit about who else might be coming up. You know, we talk about Matt Belisle. Matt Belisle might get a chance to, we'll talk about what his role is. I mean, they'll probably pitch him some in September. I can't see that he's going to be able to get back on this postseason roster, not because he's not going to be good enough, but it's going to be very difficult with all the pitchers that they have to put another guy into that mix. There's really nobody on the team right now that you would say isn't going to be on the postseason roster, I don't think. And then that's not counting Belisle. That's not counting people that we may see call up. I mean, we're looking at, what, Sokolovic, Harris, Tuilagalua all coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Tim Cooney's going to come up. Tyler Lyons is going to come up. You know, there's five more pitchers to put out in the bullpen. And, you know, I think there's still a little bit of competition there for some of those last bullpen spots just because Tuilagalua and Sokolovic have been very good this year. But then you've gotten, you know, they went out and got Broxton and Cishek, so they're probably going. So,
who have both pitched really well since they've been, I mean, really, except for one outing apiece where I think Cishek had that control issues against Colorado and Broxton gave up the homer to Milwaukee. Other than that, those two guys have just been really solid. And, you know, when it comes to postseason and wanting that experience and guys who have closed and done all kinds of stuff, you know, it's kind of a good problem to have when you're mixing in guys like Tuivalu and Mitch Harris with veteran guys like Broxton and Cishek.
Yeah, I think in 2006, the Cardinals struggled down the stretch, but then, of course, caught fire and were very good in the postseason and wound up winning. Part of the reason that they got caught fire is because everybody started getting healthy by the end of the year. And I think that's a chance here. I mean, obviously this team hasn't stumbled like the 2006 team is. It's not going to go down to the, hopefully not going to go down to the last day trying to decide if they're going to get in the playoffs or not, or if they're going to be the, not wild card or not. But, they could easily get very healthy and look like a different team in October, when you put those bats in there and some really strong pitching. So, you got to like, well, the way that especially the last couple of weeks of September are probably going to look for this squad.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a lot of guys. I mean, if we get even half these guys back, I mean, it's going to be a very crowded bench, and you're going to have and that's on the pitching side and the hitting side, and that's one of the reasons why I think the Cardinals are just the power in this league right now is that they've done all this, you know, without being even close to remotely close to fully healthy. And now they're getting guys like John Jay, who hasn't really contributed much this season due to that wrist. And they got Holiday back. I mean, if Holiday becomes even 75% of what Holiday can do, that's great. And then you get guys in the bullpen like, you know, Tui Valala and Mitch Harris, who, you know, these are young guys wanting to contribute. I mean, you're going to have a big stacked team. I think you're going to see more call-ups this year than in recent years just because of how many, you know, contributors that this team, you know, needs and how deep they are and how many looks that Matheny and his staff will kind of want to get at these young guys.
Well, and the other side of that is, you know, pretty much out of all the people that are on the 40 man plus the 60 to ADL, you know, they've used 43-44 players this year. It's not like, I mean, and they've all pretty much contributed. I mean, they're going to have to make some moves. They're going to have to make a move to put Belisle and Adams, who are both on the 60 to ADL, back on the 40 man. So there'll be a couple of guys cut, possibly a Nick Greenwood, possibly a Dean Anna or who knows who, probably at one of the catchers, Ed Easley or Cody Stanley. But you know, these are guys, you know, they'll call up a third catcher. I'm hoping it's Mike Ullman. I'd like to see him get the call up from Springfield. I don't think Easley or Stanley did anything in Memphis and both of them had a shot this year. I just don't think that they're worth calling up, but I think Ullman's got a chance, if not next year, you know, the year after, to be the backup to Molina, and a guy that can actually hit a little bit. You know, we've already got Garcia up here. We'll probably see Xavier Scruggs get the call. You know, we'll probably see, I'm trying to see who else we might see. That we may have hit them all, but that's still, Marco Gonzalez. Marco Gonzalez may get the call up too, although they may decide to shut him down with all the pitching that they're going to have. Or they may want to see what they can see out of him this year. I don't know, but I think I counted up and there's a chance for like 34, 35 people. And that's a pretty full clubhouse.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, it's a lot of personality. It's a lot of like hard throwing arms down there in a bullpen. It's a lot of bats in the dugout. I mean, you know, John Jay and Holiday and Adams, I mean, that they want to get back and they want to help this team. I mean, if you have the best team in baseball, you know, and you're coming back and you have a chance to make a dent. If you have a chance to push guys like Pittsburgh and the Cubs further down, you know, in a division, I mean, these guys are going to be chomping the bit. And that's for a team that most people would think was cruising. I think it's going to be the opposite. I think you're going to have this team's going to be infused by those young guys. And when they come back, I mean, you know, the veterans and the rookies, this is going to be a very, very entertaining mix to watch.
Jacob Wilson is a guy that's not on the 40 man that they could try to make room for. I don't know, given the fact that they're going to have to do so much for, like I say, for Adams or Belisle. You know, I don't know if they'll want to cut somebody else to make room for him. They may. I don't know if he's going to have to be on the roster next year or not. I don't know what his contract status really is. He struggled a little in Memphis, but he does have 11 home runs, so, it would be interesting to see. Guys, we're not going to see. We're not going to see Almedes Diaz. He's done pretty well in Memphis since his call up, but that's in three games. He hit pretty well in Springfield after he was designated for assignment, but he's not on the 40 man roster anymore. And I think it's a small sample size. We won't see him and we won't see Alex Reyes. The Cardinals have pretty much said that we won't see Reyes, which is a little I know we'd all like to see him, but given how much pitching is down there, you know, what are we going to see? Maybe, you know, 2-3 innings if he came up, and putting him on the roster is just not worth it for that.
Yeah, I mean, even with a lot of guys that you know, the Cardinals rotation is stacked to begin with, and you know, to get this guy valuable innings, I suggested 2 weeks ago that maybe he'd come up just so he can spend some time with the team, talk to guys like Wainwright, especially a guy who's really chomping to get back himself, to soak up as much knowledge from this team and watch the Cardinals in a pennant race, see how this team is, see how the dugout is and how the clubhouse is and how everything operates. But I just don't see Mozeliak doing that, because you do have to start his clock. And, you know, this team is very precious about those kind of things. And I don't think that unless he can make a big impact and get big innings, which I don't think he's going to find in this bullpen, especially if guys like Tuivalu, Harris, Gonzalez, and even Cooney, especially, they all come up. And that's not like when Matheny goes to his rubber arm guys like, you know, Rosenthal and Segrist and Maness. I mean, you know, you're talking about putting a guy like Alex Reyes in like maybe in the 9th or 10th like depth spot in the bullpen. So, as much as I want to see him, he's kind of like the pitching equivalent of Randall Grichuk, just that lightning rod kind of electric, you know, entertainment that you know is going to be providing the thrills up and downs throughout the next 5 to 10 years. I don't think we're going to see it in 2015.
Now, and I'm looking here at Marco Gonzalez's line. You know, he's pitched much better of late. 3 starts ago, 6 innings of shutout ball. 2 starts ago, 4.1 innings, gave up 2 earned runs. And then last start out, he pitched 5 innings of scoreless ball. So he's pitched better. Still, his numbers don't look great at Memphis. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what they do with him. It may be that they decide they want to rest him, but he's been off a lot this year with some injuries, so he could be a little bit fresher. They may want to bring him up. I wonder, and I think you can. I could be wrong. I think they could go ahead and bring up a guy like Reyes, and not put him on the roster, just have him around the club. I think there's a lot of times that they'll have the guys in the dugout that, you know, can't be used, but they're still there anyway. Maybe not. Maybe that's against the rules, but it will be interesting to see if maybe they don't call some guys. I mean, not call them up in the idea that they're active, but just bring them up and let them be around the team somewhat as they go through the stretch and see what things are like. Kind of like what you were saying. Give them a chance to talk to these guys, to be around these guys without having to worry about them going into and making, you know, their major league debut or anything like that. I don't know if they can do that. For some reason, I feel like they can, but I am completely wrong at times as well. let's see. Talk about the postseason rotation. This was on my mind earlier. And then I see that tonight, Joe Strauss, who never wants to stir a pot or be anything more than respectful.
He is the best at it, man.
has tweeted out, basically pointing out that Carlos Martinez has not been good lately, and that he should not be part of the postseason rotation. And I hate to say this, but I was actually thinking the same thing. Carlos in August, not counting tonight, and granted, gave up 3 runs tonight, but he only did 4 hits. It could be a lot worse, but not counting tonight, you know, his August, he had a 4.07 ERA, and that's not counting his July 30th start. That was 5 runs and 5 innings against the Rockies. He seems to me that he is struggling a bit as of late. And you know, if there was a weak spot in the rotation, I'd say, never mind. You don't worry about it. But there's not. I mean, who else are you going to take out? You're not going to take out, I don't think you're going to take out Lance Lynn. I think maybe you've written an article that says you do. I can't remember. You write so much stuff, Dan. I can't always remember.
I know. I write too much.
But I want to say that you may have had that idea of leaving Lynn off the rotation. I'm not, maybe it's somebody else that had that. But I don't think you do. You don't leave off a Walker. You don't leave off a Lackey with his experience. You know, and Jaime Garcia, if he's healthy, has to be there. So, you know, it almost by default, and him struggling on, you know, an innings limit that he's hitting. I mean, he's hitting, you know, probably his career high in innings. Probably already done that. You got to wonder about a little bit of fatigue. He's done the bullpen before. He'd be great, you know, seventh, eighth guy. Put him in that back of that rotation, back of that bullpen. Could be just as deadly as anything. That's the way I'm leaning right now. What do you think? Who would you take out of the rotation?
You know, it's so hard. I mean, I did discuss this on Twitter last week, and I did reference it. I wrote a Lynn article for KSDK when he started this week. It's so hard. I mean, when I suggested in a conversation with Corey Rudd and Tara Wellman about who would I take out, I mean, I did. I left Lance Lynn out just because of what Carlos Martinez has done and what he does in high pressure situations. That's where I really like to see him in a rotation, but people can also make an argument, well, if he does that in high pressure spots, he could do that in the bullpen, and they're right. And I do think that out of all these five, the most likely is going to be Martinez. I think that that's the way Matheny and the team will dictate, just because, and then they'll mention his innings, and I do think they'll use him. I think as we've mentioned before, if there's an early game blast, if the starter's getting lit up, I think he'll deploy Martinez quickly. If I had my rotation, it's just so hard. I mean, as I noted in my article, I said it was so hard to leave Lance Lynn out because he's been a horse, but he's also a guy that's had a rough history in the postseason. He is a guy that he's got all the emotion. He hasn't, but then you have the fact that he hasn't pitched in the bullpen consistently in a long time, and he is kind of a big game pitcher, and he is kind of a guy who doesn't, you don't have to worry about pitch counts, you don't have to worry about him getting tired. It's just when I look at these five guys and how great, I mean, this is an historically great rotation. So anyone you pull out isn't going to be a bad idea. People suggest taking out Lackey, but I just see his postseason experience and the way that he's been there. He's done that. You can't leave him out. Waka, he's been so consistent and he's looked sharper over the last, three or four starts. And Martinez, it's just like tonight. I mean, he gets a little roughed up early, but then he bounces back. I know he's had some bad luck on balls put in play in his last few starts, but he's just an electric arm that I think has gained so much as far as just being able to handle the pressures and the rigors of a start. So, well, it is realistic that Martinez is out. I mean, I still point to a guy like Lynn, and I hate to say that, because even when I finish a sentence, I go, oh, Lance Lynn, but then you go, oh, I can't leave him out, because I'm a big Lance Lynn fan. So for me, I think that what happens over these last few weeks is really going to dictate. I mean, if Lance Lynn fires off a great string of starts and we do kind of start to see more leaks in Carlos Martinez's game, I think you do put Lance Lynn in there. And I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, I think whatever rotation they come up with is going to be great. Once again, this is an historically fantastic rotation, so you can't make a bad decision. It just, if I put Lance Lynn in there, I feel bad for leaving out Carlos Martinez, because I think the year he's had, he deserves to be in there. And he's also a guy that pitches very, very good on the road. He doesn't get banged up on the road. He's very good at home. He's very good on the road. He's basically one of those guys that's grown, it seems, as far as pitching IQ 5 to 10 years in this one season of starting. So, well, if I do happen to leave Lance Lynn in, I feel bad for leaving Martinez out, a guy who's just pitched electric. But I do notice that he has the recent bullpen experience. And if I leave Lance Lynn out, you know, you're leaving out a guy who is a true horse, a guy who has pitched in a lot of big games the last 2 years, and playoff postseason record, you know, be darned. You just feel bad for leaving him out. I almost want to go to a five guy rotation, but it's not going to happen. So I think anything that they do will be fine, but I also think the last 4 weeks of this season and how they handle Waka and Martinez will be very interesting to see how that postseason rotation shakes out.
You know, you say they won't go to five-man rotation, and you're probably right, but it is interesting that it gives Mike Matheny a little bit of play, if you will. You know, if it comes down to five-game NLDS and you've started, Lance Lynn or whoever in that fifth game, you know, maybe you'd want to get, you know, and then there's a day off. It gives you the chance, I guess is what I'm trying to say, it gives you a chance to really set your rotation up in the NLCS the way you want it, and not necessarily be predicated on how the NLDS went, because you could use Carlos Martinez in a game one or a game two, pushing everybody else back. Maybe you don't use him again in the series, maybe you do, but it gives you that chance to basically take that five-man rotation and roll it through two or three series, and always have somebody ready to go. I don't know how that works necessarily, but I think it's a possibility that just because Mike Matheny may set four guys up for the NLDS doesn't mean it's going to be the same four guys for the NLCS and then for the World Series. Yeah, but, you know, our friend Joe Schwartz has an article up at Viva today saying that Lance Lynn should be the game one starter for the playoffs because of his strikeout percentage, that he's striking out more batters, has a higher percentage of strikeouts than anybody else, and he feels like he should let Lynn, you know, set the tone. I think, you know, look, Mike Matheny is going to start Lance Lynn game one. I don't think there's any doubt about that, unless there's some need late in the year. You know, I mean, if it goes down to the final day, 2 days, you know, and Lynn's had to pitch something like that. But if he has a chance to set his rotation, I think Lynn goes first because of, you know, experience, the idea that he was kind of the backup ace, if you will. He kind of slid into that ace role when Wainwright went down. I think it's probably Lynn and Lackey, and then Walken and Garcia. I mean, that's kind of the way I think it looks out. And with Garcia not necessarily needing to be at home anymore, given those splits are not as nasty as they used to be, there's no reason to have to put him in the first. Of course, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have him going in game two either. I don't know. What do you think? How do you think it lines up?
You know, I really like Lackey. Yeah, I mean, as we all know what Lackey can do at Busch Stadium. So I like to see him in the first two games. But then again, if you put him in that third game, then he's in line to start a possible game seven. But I just like him starting the most games at Busch as possible. So I like him in the first two. Hey, you know, Joe Schwartz saying that Lance Lynn wants to be in that first game. Hey, and he's right. As when it comes to fielding independent ERA, basically not relying on your defense, Lance Lynn leads the team. I mean, he I think going in his last start against Arizona, it was a 3.17 fielding independent ERA, and that was the best in the team. He can get strikeouts. Yes, he throws a lot of pitches. He gets an insane amount of foul balls, but the one thing he does is he throws incredibly hard and doesn't allow a lot of home runs, and he gets a lot of strikeouts, and he can overpower hitters, and he's durable. And I wrote the other day really just about people still seem to not appreciate Lance Lynn. Like it's a no-brainer that he shouldn't be in the playoff rotation. It's not. It's hard. And the fact that Joe wants him in that game one is good because Lance Lynn does pitch better at Busch than he does on the road. And, yeah, I mean, I could see him, I could see Matheny going, you know, Lynn, Lackey, and then maybe, Garcia and Waka. Because Waka pitches pretty decently, you know, at home on the road. Garcia has been filthy anywhere. I think Garcia could probably pitch in a Coliseum back in the Roman days and still put together a quality start. It doesn't really seem to matter with him in 2015. So I could see a Lynn or a Lackey at home, and then possibly for 3 and 4 you can go Garcia and Waka.
Yeah, it seems reasonable enough. And like I say, it may shift around. You get to the World Series and games 3, 4, and 5 are at home. So maybe that's where you use a Lackey in 3. Or 4, rather than, you know, early on. Again, that's also depending on how long the series go, how much time it off there is, things of that nature. So, it's something to watch, something to keep an eye on, and that's something we'll be talking about all the way until, you know, the team clinches and Mike Matheny can actually start, you know, really working it out. I mean, I'm sure he's got some ideas, but I also don't think he's spending a whole lot of time on it right now. Wanted to talk a little bit, and we're just now crossing the hour mark. We're not too bad off. Yeah, so we got another hour and a half, right?
That's right. That's right.
Talk a little bit about Matt Carpenter. You know, Matt Carpenter was on that incredible run there for the longest time, where he was basically hitting a home run every day. It seemed like
He's
hitting like 500. I mean, it was just insane. And lately, I mean, obviously things were going to fall off some, but probably, well, let's see, it's hard to tell. But then the last, let me pull up this, not counting tonight, in the last 8 games, he's 2 for 28. One of those hits was a home run. Now he's gotten a hit tonight. He's still drawing some walks, but he's got, you know, in those 28 at-bats, he had 14 strikeouts, striking out like we saw him earlier in the year. Is it one of those things that we saw it with Colton Wong? Is it one of those things where he needs a day off? He hasn't had one. Well, it doesn't look like he's had one in a long, long time.
No.
I can't, not just at a glance. I'm not even seeing one that he's had off since, you know, back in maybe June. I'm sure I'm missing something there, but that's the way it looks. Is that the case? Is it time for him to take a day or two and see if it rejuvenates him like it did with Colton Wong?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like the home run he just seemed to blast in Arizona. You know, that same night, you know, he looked really rough that bat after. And you're seeing that. You're seeing a good at bat and you're seeing a bad at bat. You know, he had the RBI double tonight. He had a hit in an RBI last night. It's one of those things where I think he's still Matt Carpenter. He's always going to find ability to get on base. You know, he still has a 360 on base percentage. He has a good slug. His average after that bad slump is set at 259 before tonight's game. I mean, you know, the guy leads the club in home runs and RBIs. He's right up there in WAR with a 2.5. But, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, I think you need to rest these guys. If these guys are wearing out, Colton Wong and Mike Carpenter have played almost every day. I mean, when it comes to who's played the most, you got Peralta, Carpenter, and Wong and Hayward as far as just guys that play. And, you know, if you have this roster additions, if you have the Matt Adams and you have the guys like Mark Reynolds who can slide over to third base and, you know, all these young guys, you do need to find a day for Matt Carpenter to get some rest. He's not a guy that has to play every day. I mean, especially if he's had a bad streak in the last 7 days. Yeah, you're right. He's 2-for-21. He's only got 3 RBIs. You know, he was pressing there. I think he was 0-for-20 or 0-for-21 there for a while before he finally broke out. You know, he had a rough streak starting against San Francisco. He didn't have a hit in San Diego. He's gotten a few here in Arizona, but he's one of those things where if you have a roster full of guys like Reynolds and Moss and you get guys like Jay and Adams and Holiday back, you don't need to be overplaying anybody. You know, you can rest Peralta and play, you know, even play Cosma, play Garcia. You know, you can rest Carpenter and play Reynolds over there. You can even move, you know, you can give Wong a day off, even if you got to put Garcia, if you got to move Carpenter over to second on Wong's day off. It's one of those things where you really got to rest these guys because when the games start to really get gritty, especially you got to rest these guys so they're ready for those big games against Pittsburgh and the Cubs. And like I said, there's no reason to really overplay anybody, especially with the record the Cardinals have and the way that they're really built on pitching. If guys are pressing like Matt Carpenter and Colton Wong, just a day off could do it. I mean, well, Wong had basically, I think he had to take over for Garcia late in the game, but I think he did get mostly a day off, and that can help. He came back, he got some big hits, took some better bats. When it comes to Matt Carpenter, I mean, home runs can be kind of deceiving. I mean, he can crush a home run, and then he can have a couple bad at bats where he just looks fooled. And we all know, you know, he got tossed on Friday on a ball that just seems to be dooming Matt Carpenter the last 3 years. As far as getting called out on pitches that aren't really strikes when it comes to, you know, whatever the Sayre metrics do when they determine what's a strike and what's not, he's had some bad luck on that, but he has been pressing and he's had a decent series in Arizona, but not a great one. So I think a day off for him could really work. I mean, especially when you got guys who behind him who can play. The Cardinals are soon going to have a plethora of players in that bench that can give these starters a day off.
Yeah, and looking at tonight's game, apparently when we were talking about, you know, Mark Reynolds going in for defense, it wasn't that. They moved Carpenter over to third. I guess that did up the defense. But it was interesting to see Carpenter start at first tonight when it was a night where they, you know, some guys got some rest. You know, Molina's not lined up and stuff like that. But you would have almost thought that, you know, with Greg Garcia starting at third, you know, start Mark Reynolds at first and let Moss play outfield, or start Moss in the outfield and let Peter Borges play. I mean, you know, there are ways to do that, and instead they've, you know, I don't know what the thinking is of moving Matt Carpenter to first instead of giving him the day off. You know, it's Mike Matheny, it's lineups, we don't know what's going on most of the time. But it is a little frustrating to see. I mean, this is a guy that went out for fatigue earlier in the year, and you're still, I know he wants to play every day. I know he's a workhorse. I know all that stuff. But dadgummit, every once in a while, you just got to sit them down. And I think that you're seeing a little bit of that. I mean, like you said, he doesn't always get the benefit of the calls. He got tossed out in that game in San Diego very, very quickly. But, you know, not counting tonight, well, or you can count tonight, fine. Two out of the last five games, he struck out three times. And that's just not Matt Carpenter. You know, you look at his bottom line right now, he's hitting under 260. This isn't the team, the Carpenter that we thought we were going to see this year. And a lot of that's that slump that he had earlier. But it just feels like this is a time where you should be resting him some. Because, like you said, those Pittsburgh series, those Cubs series, you're going to want him in there. You're going to want him at full strength. And then come the playoffs, you obviously want him not worn down. So, I know that you'd think he can get out there every day, but every once in a while, it just wouldn't hurt to have him get a day off here and there.
Yeah, I mean, in his last 10 games before tonight, he had struck out two or more times in six of those games, and that's just not the guy that we need to see. I mean, sure, he's drawing a walk in those games, but, you know, and he's getting hits, but, you know, when Matt Carpenter's striking out like that, that's not just, getting cheat out of a strike zone. That's him swinging through pitches. That's him being fooled more than we're used to seeing him and getting fooled. And, you know, it comes back to one of the things that Derek Gould also addressed in his chat today was the mental stability of these players and how they do kind of need a rest and they kind of need to be safe from themselves. I mean, you got to rest these guys. If you put their name on a card, guys like Colt Wong who are dying to contribute, you know, kind of waiting to make that great play. Matt Carpenter is a guy who grinds out an entire season more than anybody. You got to save these guys for themselves. And it kind of pertains to guys like Yadi. I mean, Yadi will catch 162 games in a season if you let him, but you can't let him because his knees will be shot. So in the same way that you physically do that with Yadi, you need to mentally do that with guys like Wong and Carpenter. Give these guys a break. Let them watch the game from the stands. I mean, you know, it doesn't mean they can't pinch hit late in the game. I mean, these guys might come into a game and make a big at bat and possibly win it, as we've seen many times in their young careers. But right now, if you have the guys behind them, you can definitely rest Carpenter and get them ready for the stretch run.
Yeah, it would seem to be that's the case. We're top of the eighth. It's still 5-3, looking good for a Cardinal win, and so they'll stay 4.5 up on the Pirates. They'll be, I think, 8.5 up on the Cubs, which, you know, like you said, playoffs are pretty good. Whether they'll be a divisional winner or they'll have to host the Cubs, that I don't want to think about. But hopefully they can continue to win these games, and that's just a big deal. If they can win these kind of games that they need to win. Boy, I think we've covered just about everything I could think of. Is there any topic you want to touch on tonight before we start wrapping up?
Oh, you know, no, not really. I think we've hit the rotation. We've hit the September calls. We've talked about an offense that's kind of been perked up for another five runs tonight. I think we've put enough spices in the pot to stir up for another week.
Well, there we go. Well, I mean, obviously you aren't watching. Or is there any movies tonight that we need to discuss, or is it a bit of a quiet time?
Well, you know, I watched a movie last night that, you know, if you ask me, if I ever thought that Owen Wilson and Pierce Brosnan would share a screen in an action film before, 2 years ago, I probably want to call you nuts. But the movie I watched last night called No Escape was just that. You had Owen Wilson in a very unlike Owen Wilson role. The guy does mostly comedies, but he plays a husband who takes his family overseas to this country to start a new job, and the rebels break out and they take over the city, and it's basically a movie. An hour and 40 minutes of this family trying to survive. And it's a very well done thriller. Pierce Brosnan kind of shows up as this guy who kind of helps the family out. And what I told people from the whole get-go is that who didn't like Owen Wilson being this role was, well, I think the producers did just that. I mean, they cast a guy who you would never think would be an action hero. I mean, you know, they couldn't cast, you know, Sylvester Stallone in this role. Or it just wouldn't work. I mean, he'd be beating everybody up and saving a day. You're supposed to get a guy who you least expect to be able to do these kind of things. And Owen Wilson, as he did in one other movie called Behind Enemy Lines, he really thrives in this role because, you know, it's one of those things you don't expect him to be good at, but he is. And it's a very taut thriller. It moves well. It's got a good pace. It's a movie that kind of sneaks up on you because, you know, the previews and the release date don't really give it too much credit, but it's a very well-made thriller that will get you doing what you always get mad at your in-laws for doing when they talk to the movie screen and they tell you, don't do that. No, Don't go in that door. You're going to be doing that when you watch this movie. I mean, I do it, and I usually get mad at people who do it, but even I was like, no, go the other way. Because there's certain thrillers that are just made like an old 1980s, you know, action adventure movie where you are talking at the screen because it's a very human story. And what I liked about it was, you know, it puts these people, these very normal people. I mean, I'm a father. I mean, I'm a husband. So, you know, the whole time this movie is based in exercise. And what would you do if you were in this position? Because these people aren't trained in fighting rebels and surviving in gunfare and combat. It's just kind of them just trying to hide out and get across the city alive. And, you know, there's a lot of close calls, and right when you think something's going to happen, something else happens. It's a very unexpectedly, surprisingly well-made thriller that you should go check out. I mean, that is, if you don't want to stay home and watch superheroes and watch, Sinister 2 and watch the Air movies. I think this movie is one that could sneak up and really, you can enjoy.
There you have it. There's Dan Buffett's movie pick of the week. You know, last week we asked if there was any TV shows you wanted us to review. I don't know if anybody made it to that point of the show or thought if they didn't tell us one that we
maybe would. We should start with that. Go before we talk about baseball.
Yeah.
Do you want to have us any discussion, any movies or TV shows? Please tell us now, because by the time we talk about it at an hour and 21 minute mark, you may not be here.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought about as well. But also, they may have thought that if they didn't tell us any, we wouldn't talk about any, and that's not the case. No, we'll find, you will always have some sort of entertainment, news or such going along afterwards. In this show, especially more and more as we get closer to December 18th. The Force Awakens.
I will say there is a good TV show on TNT, called Public Morals. It's a show by Edward Burns, who is, you know, the guy who's done the Irish American Kid, who's done Brothers McMullen. He writes and directs these little indies that he puts together himself. And it's one of those things, it's a big story behind it, because Burns wrote a book called basically about his story of being a kind of an indie filmmaker and making films on his own dime and using his friends. He wanted to make a show that he wanted to dedicate to his dad, who was a cop, and his show, Public Morals, that premiered, I think, on Tuesday on TNT, is just about that. It's about cops in New York in the 1960s. And the funny thing is that Burns tried to make this story twice on the big screen, but he just couldn't fund it. He's a guy that only directs movies, and I respect him for this so much, because it's so easy for filmmakers to go against the grain or to do movies that makes him a lot of money. Edward Burns has never done that. He's only makes movies that he wants to. He casts a lot of his friends. He shoots in places that he doesn't really ask for permission to shoot in. Have you ever heard of She's the One or Brothers McMullen or Confidence? He's also the guy that, you know, when you watch movies on demand, when they're released in theaters, he's the one that kind of broke that through as far as a studio releasing a movie on demand and not just in theaters. He actually broke through as far as releasing movies on iTunes. This is a guy who's really done things his way. And the one reason he went back to TV was because, you know, TNT gave him full control and gave him the chance to finally make the show that he's been trying to make. Because he'll tell you himself, you know, we've seen all these Italian cop, gangster cop shows. You've never seen the Irish American cop and gangster show. So you always want to make one to dedicate to his dad. So if you want to watch a TV show that's not on HBO and Showtime, it just started this week on TNT, and it's called Public Morals.
There you go. Yeah, we'll be doing, I'm sure, quite a bit of TV as the seasons. You know, I believe some of the new shows will start in 3 weeks or so. And it's kind of interesting nowadays that, you know, used to be there was always like that 1 week that everything started, and now it's very staggered nowadays.
Well, yeah, I think people really found a lot of worth in releasing stuff in the summer, kind of getting a head start. I mean, there's a lot of shows, especially on USA and TNT, that they'll air during the summer, because that's a time where a lot of the big honchos, the big heavyweights like Fox and NBC and ABC, they don't really air a lot of their big heavyweights like they do from like September to May. So you have a lot of shows that kind of sneak in there, and, you know, TV's kind of growing. I mean, I think cable TV like Cinemax, for example, is kind of starting to hang with guys like, networks like HBO and Showtime, and you're starting to see TNT kind of and AMC start to fight with Fox and NBC. And it's great because it's more creative content. It's more people getting jobs. A lot of stories that have been buried for years and months inside of rooms in Hollywood is finally getting out, and we're getting a chance to see them.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, the way they present shows now is different. I mean, it probably goes back to the last couple of seasons of Lost when they were able to negotiate this out that they would do, you know, they did X amount of shows and they did them straight through and there weren't any reruns because the arc was necessary and it confused people to go back and forth. And I think a lot of shows nowadays that they do that. They just run their set and they don't have reruns as much. You know, and maybe kind of like ABC, you know, they run Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then they run Agent Carter and then they run Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But so where you're not seeing replays, you're seeing another show in the middle and then they get to run straight through because people want to follow the serialized story. So, but that means you start, you know, you can start in October. And like you said, with those summer shows, it lets you push things back as well. And we're getting to where, there's new stuff premiering year round and usually pretty good stuff as well. But, anyway, well, the Cardinals getting, I think mine is hung up. It sounds like Peter Borges got caught stealing and apparently that broke, MLB game day. I don't know why because it's not like it's a new thing, but, anyway, Cardinals hopefully will win tonight. Hopefully we'll have a good weekend. Well, we should probably talk a little bit, I guess, about next week. Not much reason to, but San Francisco, then we've talked a little bit. Nationals, Pirates, Cubs, homestand is just, it's gonna be huge. And so they really need to win those games this weekend. They missed Madison Bumgarner who pitched today against the Cubs. Hopefully they can do in San Francisco what they did in St. Louis last week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a really big game changer. It's the way that we're going to start out September. I know when it comes to Lance Lynn, I was looking ahead at his starts when I was looking at doing that story that he's going to be starting a lot of big games. He's actually going to be starting at least two finales of the Cubs. The last two series against the Cubs, if the rotation holds up, he's going to start the last games of those three game series. And that could be huge. He's going to start one of the last games of the Pirates series. So he's going to be a big arm that's going to get a chance to really convince fans just how good he is, even though he's got about 58 wins to do that. But anyway, but you know, when it comes to this homestand, it's big because the Cardinals play great at Busch and they got a struggling Nationals team right before the Pirates and the Cubs who will come in with the rotation stacked in order to take those series because they know even though I mean, this is it. They get one more shot before this season really starts to really speed up and get towards the end of the season. I mean, it's they got to ask themselves: do you want to face each other? Do you want to take the Cardinals' spot and smooth into the postseason? And that is a big homestand. I mean, when it comes to this last month, I can't think of anything that's bigger.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. So, all right. Well. We will do it again next week, maybe even better. You know, some people might say we can't do it worse. So
that's the idea. Just get better with each week.
We set the bar low, and hopefully we can clear it eventually. So for Dan, I'm Daniel. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to The Best Dance in Baseball. We'd love to have your feedback on the show. Email us at bestdanceinbaseball@gmail.com. Dan Buffa can be found on Twitter at Buffa82, Daniel Shoptaw at C70. The show's Twitter handle is Best Dan, BASEBAL1. You can also find us on Facebook under Best Dance in Baseball.